How's it going, everybody? NHL Action Network collab right back at you for week 8 of the NHL season. Pete Jensen joined by my buddy Michael Leboff from the Action Network. It's been a minute that we've been on a show together, Mike. Great to be back with you.
Yeah. The last time we spoke, I think, was before the season, and a lot has changed. A ton has changed. And one of the things that has changed maybe more than anything is the league is wide open. And I don't think people thought it was going to be wide open. And that has not, that's not just on a team level. We'll talk about a bunch of teams as we go on, but also in, on like a player market level, player future level. I'm talking particularly about the Hart Trophy race. Connor McDavid is still the favorite. He's close to being odds on. He's plus 110. So odds makers are telling you there's just about a 50% chance he wins the award. I think that that is a little rich, considering the team he's playing for is not going well. There's still a lot of time left, and there are some people, some players putting some pressure on him, and they are still at big numbers.
Absolutely. And the one that comes to mind may seem obvious. He's on a 15-game point streak. No disrespect to Mitch Marner, who's on a 16-game point streak, but Jason Robertson, Dallas Stars. This guy leads the NHL in goals. He's second in the NHL in points behind Connor McDavid. And yes, you mentioned it, Mike, the Western Conference is really tight. Even a team like the Vancouver Canucks is only a couple points from moving up the ladder into playoff contention. So back to the Dallas Stars, Jason Robertson, there has to be a real threat, Mike, for either or both Hart Trophy and Rocket Richard. Which one do you think is the better betting angle?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think if you're going to bet him, because his price has been slashed, as you can imagine with the way he's going, he's like 12-1 to win the Hart, and he's even shorter than that to win the Rocket. I would just bet both. You know, I'd split your stake and bet both, or even like double your stake and bet both to go for the bigger payout at this point, just because you're getting in at the kind of high watermark of the market. He's been mesmerizing that line as they were last year. They've gotten even better. I'm kicking myself a little bit for not getting involved with Robertson before the season started, just because that kind of narrative of him being, you know, being a contract dispute for a little while and missing some training camp kept people off his scent, I guess, a little bit. And we probably all, you know, it's easy to say now, hindsight being 2020, but we missed the boat there. But I know he's someone you're still high on. I've got a couple other guys that I think are definitely worth playing at this point at these numbers. I like Matthew Tkachuk a lot. He's 40-1. He's right around the top 10 in points. The Panthers, I think, are starting to really find how Paul Maurice wants them to play. I think they're taking to it really well. I think their team to kind of target to trudge up the standings a little bit. And another one, this is a homer pick, but Ilya Sorokin is 100-1. And this comes down to McDavid, right? If we all thought, okay, McDavid's going to run away with this award 4 weeks ago. If he's not going to, that opens the door for so many different people. And so way Sorokin's going right now, I saw on NHL.com, he was the fifth pick for the Vezina at the quarter mark. I think he's the best goalie in the league. I think he's been the best goalie in the league to start this season. And if he gets the Islanders to the playoffs, right, and he keeps up this form, he's going to be on the ballot. So I think 100-1 on him, 40-1 on Tkachuk are definitely worth exploring if you feel like you've missed the boat on Robertson.
Right. And what better job could he have done to show up the other guy, right? When he had the 49 save shutout the other day around the holiday, Thanksgiving, against the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid. So that was really impressive what Sorokin really has done ever since coming into the NHL. He didn't get the goal support last year, Mike. He's getting it now. This team is rolling offensively under Lane Lambert, and they look like a playoff team to me. I frankly didn't expect it, was pulling for it, but I think they're better than anyone could have imagined. And right there with the Devils, those are two teams that are clogging up two spots that a lot of people didn't expect. So maybe someone's going to be on the outside looking in that we're not used to seeing there. Washington doesn't look like a great playoff team. Pittsburgh has been up and down. I mean, Toronto's really picked it up over the past couple of weeks. Do you see maybe an obvious team, a team we've always been accustomed to seeing in the playoffs, missing the playoffs, not named the Capitals? Like, who do you think's coming out if these two teams are going to make it?
Yeah, I mean, it looks right now, it looks like the Rangers. I'd expect them to kind of course correct a little bit, but
you never know, though.
Yeah, but I think that what you're getting at is still kind of like the theme of the season, which I don't think anyone saw coming, which was it's wide open, right? So you still have time as a if you're betting, you're looking for a future to kind of attach your horse or to a different wagon, because I think the way the East is setting up, there's going to be like the Devils or the Islanders, they might come down a little bit. The Hurricanes haven't looked themselves. They're still priced like a Stanley Cup favorite. I just talked about how I like the Panthers. I think that they are a team that on a game-to-game basis are worth backing. I know that they're in Edmonton tonight, Calgary tomorrow. I'll be circling both of those games. I like the Panthers in both. But like even the Lightning, like this is a team that I think that the price is long enough for them as well. So there's going to be a surprise. Like I honestly don't even hate a little bit. This it's a long shot. You should not expect to win this bet at all. But I think the Senators have played a lot better than their record shows. And if they can get some saves and they can, you know, go on a run, the way that the league is set up and the fact that no team is really running away with those wild card spots yet, everyone's still in it. So it behooves you to take a chance. So the Senators are one team that I think is interesting. You know, you can probably get 10 to 1 on them to make the playoffs right now. But is it going to happen? Probably not. Can they get hot? We see it every winter. This team like goes on an 11-3-3 stretch and you're like, oh man, if they just didn't get off to such a bad start, they'd be in the conversation.
Interesting note about the Ottawa Senators. They are sixth in the NHL in shot attempts percentage, which indicates that they could really turn it around. They've completely buried themselves, but again, we're talking about 6 to 8 points here that they would need to make up over the course of the season. It's doable. On the other side, you see a team like Detroit. We were talking them up on Fantasy on Ice today and their scoring depth and how they've been resilient with injuries and missing players. But a team like Detroit could easily come out. So that in itself could open up a spot for the Ottawa Senators. Was going to also ask you about a team out west, Vancouver Canucks, trending in the right direction right now from a betting standpoint. We've talked about these two teams already this season on shows like this, but which team do you like more from a betting lens to turn it around, the Canucks in that tight West or the Ottawa Senators who have a, you know, to dig out the hole they dug themselves into?
I think it's more realistic that Vancouver does it. And if you're going to bet Vancouver to make the playoffs, they're like +230-ish right now because the West is an absolute mess. I would play a bigger number on them to do something crazy, win the conference, win the Stanley Cup. If we get to the playoffs and like winning rounds or something, because if you think about Vancouver, they need to sort their defense out. Sure. But they'll have time to do it. They'll have to jump through some cap gymnastics to accomplish it, but they've got the goalie and they've got the scoring. So it's, if they get in, first of all, it means that they're in good form because they'd have to be right. The way they started the season, it means that they'd have to have been playing at a ridiculous pace. So it kind of looks to me like, do you want to play a short number like +230 on them to make the playoffs? Yeah, it's a little interesting, but I don't want to tie my money up on a team like this, a volatile team like this, for the next, 6 months or 5 months. I'd much rather tie up a little bit of money on something crazy to happen, back the goalie to really find his form, back this team to kind of galvanize and just completely flip the script and whatever, you know, they make the playoffs and you have a Vancouver Canucks 100-1 ticket, you're going to be feeling really good about it.
The Vancouver Canucks also have an important homestand coming up. So maybe that's a team to target this upcoming week. Some against, you know, some decent opponents, but some against some bottom feeders as well. So, you know, really there is still a lot of runway for Vancouver still to turn this thing around. And then, you know, if you look bottom of the barrel too, like I know since we last talked, the Flyers are a complete abyss. They're in a long losing streak. They look like more of the team we expected, like one of the worst teams in the league. But you could still, whether it's fantasy or betting, you could always target these types of teams and find a lot of value, whether it's the props market or even just game to game spots in teams like the Coyotes and the Sharks. And I know you're big on the Sabres after how they've bounced back from their losing streak recently.
Yeah, I think that you can kind of put these, you know, bottom feeders, if, you know, for lack of a better term, in a couple different buckets, right? Like, the Flyers to me right now are just, they're on kind of on a betting blacklist. I don't think because of the injuries that they're dealing with, even we saw with the Islanders, right? Like they worked hard. They stayed in that game. It was pretty close. It was 2-2 going into the third, but then the Islanders just got the separation. It's just, you can't, they don't have the depth to kind of keep up with solid NHL teams. The Coyotes are a team that I'm still going to keep going to because while the Flyers are dealing with, you know, injuries and whatnot, the Coyotes are relatively healthy. They got Jacob Chychrun back and their goaltender, Karel Vemelka. I mean, look, he's not going to win the Vezina trophy, but he should be around the conversation at this point. And he's going to give them a chance to win. If he keeps this form up, he's going to raise the floor of that team pretty significantly every night. We almost saw them come back against the Wild on Sunday night. Like, this is a live underdog. And like you said, the Sabres, they're starting to course correct a little bit. Their goal differential, I mean, we talk a lot about Online Change, the Action Network's hockey betting show, which comes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We talk a lot about, you know, expected goals and trying to find out where teams are trending. And the Sabres, I mean, you don't even have to go that deep, right? They have a +3 goal differential on the season, and they're 9-12. They had that awful losing streak, but a +3 goal differential should put them much further up in the standings than they actually are. That would put them behind ahead of Florida. If it was just by goals, right? So this is a team I'm looking to buy despite the record, despite the recent form. And also the San Jose Sharks quietly have been one of the more impressive non-playoff teams on the season. They're tilting the ice in the right direction, or at least modestly doing it, which is not something we saw out of this team. With David Quinn, I kind of expected the Sharks to continue to be have problems defensively, but they seem to have taken to his style. All right. I know that their goal differential looks ugly, but their underlying metrics are once again, this is relatively speaking to where they are. They have a 375 points percentage. So I'm not looking for something crazy, but relative to that points percentage for a team that has 7 wins and 17 losses, they're better than that record. So the Sharks to me are a team that I think will punch up well. You know what you're going to get out of their goaltenders. They're going to be playing a lot of games in the Pacific against teams that are better than them. I know that, you know, if they have Vancouver on the docket, that's a dangerous spot for Vancouver, a team that is getting their legs going, like you said. So San Jose to me, Buffalo at one end of the spectrum, obviously, you know, the Coyotes are that's my team. So I'll keep riding them. But and then on the other end of the spectrum, like I said, I think the Panthers are continuing to be a buy team as well.
And it translates to the props market too, right? There, in terms of riding the hot hand and adding these guys to your parlays and stuff like that. I mean, who's been better than Erik Karlsson, tied for the NHL even strength point lead with Sidney Crosby as a defenseman? Nick Schmaltz, goal prop city right now, win or lose, he's scoring every game for that team since coming back from injury. And that even, you know, tails back from last season, how good he was. And then shot props, Tage Thompson has been as good as anybody. He's 5th in the NHL in shots on goal. So again, these are teams that may very well miss the playoffs by a considerable margin, but you should really be dialed into on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I think what's a good point here is that bookmakers, you'll notice like their goal scoring props they're correlated to the odds on the ice, right? So like if the Coyotes are a big underdog, you're going to get big prices on Arizona Coyote players to score because it's less likely that they'll score compared to, let's say, they're playing the Kings, right? So if you can figure out who's going for those teams, you know, Matias Maselli or Schmaltz right now, Moser, whoever you want, like you're going to get decent numbers. And there's like, you know, a couple guys like on some other teams in that, like, you know, Tage Thompson, I think his numbers are usually pretty short because of, you know, people have caught on, but I think Dylan Cousins still is like underrated. He's someone who I expect to kind of pop off at some point this season. I like Paterka on the Sabres, obviously Alex Tuch, but the point is like, if you like these teams or if you're following these teams and maybe you don't want to bet them to win on a nightly basis or something, and you just want to have a little action down, like you will find some good prices because you've been paying attention to them, right? Like if you're an Arizona Coyotes fan, you've been watching the Coyotes every night. And while the rest of the league might not be paying attention, you might be able to pick up, you know, Nick Schmaltz is going right now. He's getting chances on the power play or whatever. And his number is always going to be good because the Coyotes are going to be a pretty big underdog basically every night.
And where do these teams fall in? I know you're like always diving into not only the numbers on the ice, but the betting numbers. Like, who have been the most and least profitable teams in your opinion from a betting lens this season? Is it an obvious name like the Bruins or the Devils, or is it like someone in between or even a bottom feeder?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from, let's just talk about when they're listed as an underdog, because I think that makes it a little interesting. The Kraken have been the team that's punched up the best as an underdog, even though they're only 8-5 in terms of money won. But when you're talking about from an ROI perspective, it makes sense to see that it's the Devils. They're 6-0 as an underdog on the season. They're not going to be an underdog very often anymore. So it just, you know, that was part of that, you know, crazy run that they went on, that they're the team that's punched up the best from an ROI perspective. But there's so many teams in the green. And I think this is, you know, tying together the bigger point of this episode of how wide open things are. The underdogs are actually in the black. If you had blindly bet every underdog this season, they're just above, break even. I think you would have won $69, even though they're 144 and 199 on the season. Like you would make money. And that would be, if the season ended today, it would be only be the third time since 2005, 2006, that just blindly betting underdogs would have made you money. But that's because we've seen, you know, the Kraken, the Canadians have been really good as an underdog. The Coyotes, obviously, the Coyotes are 7-13 as an underdog. But they if you blindly bet the Coyotes every time that they're an underdog, you're up 465 Canadians, $500. So it's like there is something happening with this league this season, which we like. You know, we saw the chalk really crush last year. The year before that, it's starting to kind of veer back towards the NHL that we're kind of used to. And we, like we said at the top, like we're seeing that in the market as well for player futures too. So it's, you got to play into that chaos. And I think that, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs as well, that's where you're going to be able to make your money. Cause especially in the West, like if the playoffs started today, the difference between 1-8 in the West, like, yeah, the Knights have been great, but like, they're going to be starting Logan Thompson in a game one of a playoff as a favorite. You can see a path to kind of failure for them. So I think we're looking at, we've already seen a chaotic start to the season, and I don't see any reason why it would stop right now.
It actually makes it really fun if you're a hockey fan of one of the lower tier teams. You could have a blast out there betting and watching those Coyotes games in the first place, but then, you know, winning some money and really bringing in some return on investment. One other thing that I wanted to talk about before the upcoming slate, you were talking about how the Oilers are kind of down a little bit based on preseason expectations. Do you still think that this team, metrics wise, has a case to improve over time and then be one of the, you know, two or four last teams standing like they were last year?
No, I think the Oilers are a paper tiger right now. And it's about depth and defense and goaltending. I guess that ties into the defense, right? Like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they can go out there and score four goals a night for you, but that might not be enough. And if they don't do that, the Oilers are in a ton of trouble. They're not defending well. They're not getting saves from Jack Campbell. So this is a team that when they're a favorite, especially when they're a big price, like when the Arizona Coyotes play this, or the Sabres are playing the Oilers, you should absolutely be looking for a big number to go against them, because if they get outplayed in goal, which is happening more often than not right away, that turns the game much closer to a coin flip than would be if Jack Campbell was in form, right? So the Oilers to me are a team that maybe that when we're starting to see the bottom of the market and we'll see catch some big prices on them, like against a team like the Knights, and you can, you know, back the Oilers at a good price that you wouldn't think you would have ever saw on them before the season. But right now, when they're favorites, when they're, you know, close to pick them, especially against a team like the Panthers tonight, like I'm looking to go against them and keep going against them. I don't think that from a buy low perspective, sure. If you're an Oilers fan and you just want a for fun ticket on them to win the Stanley Cup, I guess there's no better time than now to buy in. But at the same time, like, do you trust this team to get their act together defensively, which is all it's going to take for them? And they did it last year, but that was a coaching change thing. So I don't trust them at all. I think they're definitely a paper tiger. They're right next to the Flames in the standings. I still believe in the Flames to be able to turn things around and really charge up the standings, not the Oilers.
Right. And the Canucks are right on their tail too, so you never know. And one thing to mention, like, it's going to be another couple of months before Evander Kane comes back. So, and we've seen the floor of the Oilers be missing the playoffs, right? It was like, what, 17, 18 and 18, 19. They didn't even make the playoffs at all. Then they lost in the qualifying round and the first round before last year, kind of going on a surprising run. So as much as recency bias tells you that they're one of the heavyweights, or they should be, it may be a little fool's gold because they haven't been able to be consistent in making the playoffs, let alone making deep runs in the playoffs. So, Mike, what are you looking at betting-wise for the upcoming week? One of my favorite watch games is Devils-Rangers on Monday night, litmus test game for both sides.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to be said that the fact that the Devils on the road are a pick 'em against the Rangers, who many people were picking to represent the East in the Stanley Cup. And I think maybe I know I was wrong about the Devils. I didn't think that they'd be this good. and you got to tip your cap to the people. There were some people out there who saw this coming, and not just saw it coming, but saw it coming like that. Yeah, the Devils could be an elite team, and they've proven to be it. I think that I don't have a play on the game. I think it's still, you're still buying high on the Devils, but I think just noticing that where that price is a huge story in the league so far. But yeah, for me, like, I like that. Like I said, I'll be probably backing the Panthers in their little Alberta two-step here. I'm going to be looking to play against the Kraken a little bit. I think that, yeah, they've been really good and a team that we were betting on. The market has kind of caught up to them. And, you know, when that happens, it's usually time to try to zag the other way. So Seattle's in LA, hopefully catching a decent number on them. I believe that's a Tuesday night game. And then they're hosting the Capitals, who've been down, of course. And I think you'll get a good number on a team, Washington, that still is dangerous, even if, especially as an underdog. Like, they should punch up because they can score. So I'll be doing that as well. Unfortunately, betting on the Capitals, which has not gone well for me this season. And then, yeah, like you said, like, I'm going to continue to back my dogs. I like the Habs. They've got a couple good spots I like this season, this week. I mean, they're in Calgary as well. Arizona's in LA. You know, I'll be on the Coyotes in that one. That's later in the week. So those are the spots I've circled. And I also, this is probably going to be the biggest dog I'll bet this week. You know, I guess it depends on how the Oilers look on Monday night, but they're in Chicago on Wednesday. And I know that the Blackhawks have really started to kind of struggle and trend down, but they're working hard. And that Oilers team, like I said, when they're laying a big number, especially on the road, you should be going against them. So Wednesday night, Chicago against the Oilers, that's probably going to be my dog of the week.
Chicago's been sneaky this year, and they can score right, left, and right with the Edmonton Oilers, especially if the back end is leaky. So, yeah, I like that play for sure. Back to Vancouver, I'm really targeting this team. They've won 3 in a row, 5 out of 6. Their only loss in that span was to the Vegas Golden Knights, 5-4 at home, but then they went out and beat them on the road. Spencer Martin won back-to-back road games against the Colorado Avalanche and Vegas Golden Knights. So whether you want to believe or not in him, he's like resurrecting Vancouver before our eyes, maybe lighting a fire under Thatcher Demko. That could be a good thing for both sides, because they really need those goaltenders to hold up their end of the bargain. They've gotten some production lately from Oliver Ekman-Larsson, so you like to see that scoring depth. You know, they have a couple of good lines, but again, with the homestand coming up, Washington, Florida, Arizona, and Montreal, I think that they're, you know, they have a great chance of winning all 4 of those games and keeping the ball rolling. And that's how you really overcome a bad losing streak to start the season, is by throwing one right back, right? We've seen it through the years where teams do that. I almost kind of expect Vancouver to do that this week.
Yeah, they're going to be an interesting team. I'll probably be betting against them with the Habs, for sure. But like we said with them and the Senators, I think that those are the two teams outside the playoff picture that you're going to get big prices on. That just keep in the back of your mind, because one is trending up and one has shown signs that they should eventually. So those are the teams I'd expect to make hay and maybe put some money in your pocket, and you can have a laugh about it at the end of the season.
Definitely. And in terms of players facing their former teams, we saw Matthew Tkachuk face his former team a couple of weeks ago, and now they're going to play again, returning to Calgary on Tuesday. So that's a great storyline to watch from a props perspective. And then also looking at some of the top teams in the league, you see Colorado and Boston set to match up on Saturday. That's going to be one of the best games of the week to see what the Bruins can do. We saw them pass the test against the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple weeks ago in that Monday game, and I'm looking to see if they can crack Georgiev or Francouz, no matter who they face. I think they have a great chance of doing so. And then there's also a Toronto-Tampa Bay playoff rematch, which is going to be on Saturday as well. So Bruins, Avalanche, Lightning, Leafs. It doesn't get much better than that on a Saturday slate.
Yeah, it should be fun. Georgiev, man, did not see that one coming either.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been awesome. I did not, whatever the Avalanche saw in him, you know, I kind of, you know, did a double take when I saw the trade they made in the contract, but he's been really good. And another one who, you know, like Omar and Georgiev, if we get them, like they were big prices before the season for the Vezina. So
I actually, since you brought that up, what's your thought on Georgiev for Vezina? Because there's no team safer than that, right? Colorado, even with injuries. Linus Omar, he just got banged up. he might downtrend in production at some point. He's not a sure thing. Ilya Sorokin does not always have the support of his team, nor does Igor Shesterkin, right? And Jake Ottinger missed some time earlier in the year. He's a stud when he's healthy, but Dallas is another one of those teams. A couple bad games and you see them only a couple of points still in the playoff picture. So when you look at it from that standpoint, it's like, I haven't heard a single person say Georgiev for Vezina, but crazier things have happened, much crazier things.
Yeah, I don't know if he can handle the workload. I think, you know, Sorokin is the favorite right now at most markets, and he should be. And that's why I like him as a Hart Trophy pick. Like, I wouldn't bet Ilya Sorokin at 4-1 to win the Vezina, but definitely would suggest you to not to run, don't walk to your betting window to bet him to win the Hart, because he should be in the conversation as we get to the halfway mark. But yeah, I just don't think Georgiev, even with that team, I just don't think that he will be able to put up the numbers over a long, long term. So maybe I'll be proven wrong.
No, it's very fair. But again, we've been pleasantly surprised at him and an efficient save percentage and maybe 40 wins. And you never know. It could actually happen. There's a room for him to creep into the conversation. So, Mike, great job as always, man. Looking forward to listening to the next episode of Line Change. Thanks for hopping on as always.
Yeah, of course. No problem. And, you know, we'll talk in a couple of weeks. Hopefully those Coyotes keep, you know, just trudging along.
Those Coyotes and those Sabres, don't sleep on them in any given matchup. So for Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to the NHL Action Network collab. Remember to go back and listen to Fantasy on Ice Week 8 waiver wire pickups. And we'll talk to you again on the other side next Monday. Thanks for listening.